Welcome into yet another edition of the Disney List. Al, John, and Kristen here. And before we get into our big show, which is what topic, Kristen?
The top 10 differences between Magic Kingdom and Disneyland.
All right. Great. It's a big list. It's going to be huge. Guaranteed to be bigger than your normal top 10 list, just because of all the juicy tidbits. But before we get into that, Kristen, you've got the Disney travel deal for this week. And Kristen, where can people just email you? Because you are an agent. You do help people on their way to find their best deal for their Disney trip. And not just deals, but expertise as well for both Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Universal, and every cruise line. Where can people email you?
At themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
What is the deal for this week?
Well, if you are a Florida resident and you are looking to enjoy what little bit is left of the summer, because August is here, Florida residents can save on select Disney Resort hotels now through September 8th. For example, you can stay at Disney's All-Star Resorts for just $129 plus tax.
Nice.
So that's not bad.
Nope.
Especially considering it's a popular time right now to visit.
Indeed.
Walt Disney World.
All right. Well, once again, if you want to take advantage of this deal or several others, whether it's Adventures by Disney, once again, Disneyland, Walt Disney World, all the cruise lines, where can people email you for their free quote and have you book their next trip?
At themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
I'm Al John Go, podcaster and producer of the Disney List, Skull Rock Podcast, and Dining at Disney. When you're creating content, podcasts, webcasting, live streaming, or wanting to step up your video conference calls, you need quality gear and accessories. That's why I use Gator Frameworks in my studio. From professional broadcast boom arms and microphone stands, studio monitored speaker stands, ring light kits, headphone holders, elite furniture studio desks, and acoustic wall treatments, Gator Frameworks has you covered. Gator is the leading brand of cases, stands, and support system solutions for music, pro AV, creative pro, IT, and general utility industries. They have over 1,000 different solutions made from vacuum-form plastics, rational molded plastics, wood, sewn, and EVA materials. Leveraging their expertise in case design and manufacturing, Gator has a complete OEM division that works with leading companies around the world to engineer and create custom cases for original equipment manufacturers. For more information, visit GatorFrameworks.com.
Product provided in exchange for promotional consideration.
To podcasters, recording musicians, and streamers who are looking for studio quality audio at home or on the road, the Shure MV7 Podcast Kit is a premium all-in-one solution inspired by the legendary Shure SM7B and is designed to address the versatility required by modern creators. For more on the Shure MV7 Podcast Kit, visit Shure.com, S-H-U-R-E.com. Or click the link in our show notes. Sure, sound extraordinary.
The following is a production of the Sorcerer Radio Network.
An imagination, huh?
Are you guys ready?
Are you ready?
From the Gator Framework Studio in Music City, it's the Disney List. The Disney List. Disney fans Kristen Hetzel and Al John Go bring you top 10 lists from the Disney parks, films, Star Wars, Marvel, news, travel tips, and more. Now prepare yourself for the Disney List.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm still under the weather, but I'm here. Al John Go, lifelong Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars fan, also co-host of Skull Rock Podcast with me and Dave Bossert, here at the co-host chair at the Disney List on Sorcerer Radio, and of course, the show archive at thedisneylist.com on Anchor FM, Spotify, joined by my lovely and talented co-host, Kristen.
Hello.
Hello. Want to tell everybody where else you can be found?
At diningatdisney.com.
There you go.
I am a co-host on the Dining at Disney podcast.
So what have you been covering on Dining at Disney this week?
Ooh, let's see. We talked sandwiches.
I love it.
Our favorite sandwiches.
I love it. Sandwiches are great. I chimed in with some of my favorites as well.
Yes, you did.
So I love that. And on the Skull Rock podcast, we had a bunch of really cool shows. I have to say that, doing a show with Dave is always so much fun. because we have legit Imagineers and filmmakers on the show that it's never a dull moment, you know? So I have to say that the Bancroft brothers are celebrating a birthday today. Did you know that as we record this?
I did not know that.
So happy birthday, Bancroft brothers. But anyway, we had last week the, and we saw this film, Paws of Fury,
with the
director Rob Minkoff, and he's awesome. Like, Rob is just a wonderful guy, and he has done so much, you know, directing Stuart Little and Stuart Little 2, The Haunted Mansion, Peabody and Sherman, and of course, The Lion King with Larry Allard. So, I mean, he's just an amazing dude. But we had a good time talking to him. And so anyway, I encourage everybody to check out our sister podcast. I just wanted to say that up front because we want to get a lot of crossover between our audiences, synergy, if you will, with Dining at Disney and the Disney List and Skull Rock podcast, because we all love each other. Rightfully so, because we host all those podcasts. But anyway, I hope everyone is here. And I hope everyone had a great week. It's been busy for us. I've been under the weather last week. We missed a show. They aired one of our best of shows on Sorcerer Radio for back in the day. But hopefully we'll have more of those archive shows. We still have shows from 2009. We're still doing Tiki Room that need to be put up.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we have so many shows and so little time. But
that's true. There's never enough time.
There's never enough time, especially now that we have kids. It's a different life and it's just crazy. But we appreciate everybody's support in watching and listening to our show. Another thing we want to also talk about is the fact that everybody needs to subscribe to the show wherever you find podcasts, as well as give us a like and share a review. Everything does help. I think it's pandering, but you know, we have to mention it every now and again, you know, to do that. And hopefully, and if you like video, if you like streaming video on Facebook and on YouTube, let us know. We will gladly continue to do it. Lindsay, we know you love our shows. Lindsay's in the chat, and she is one of the top contributors to all of our shows. And we do appreciate that. You and your family, we do appreciate that because, you know, as the ad says at the top of the show, you know, it's made possible by people like you, Lindsay. So thank you so much. So I tell you, it's been an interesting week for us, but even more than that, it's been a kind of a weird week for Disney because they talked about so much stuff there with San Diego Comic-Con last week.
Yes.
And we didn't even talk about all of that stuff, but I think we will. That was initially what we were going to talk about last week, was the reveals of Comic-Con. And I think we probably could have done that show this week. But I tell you what we'll do anyway. We'll just go ahead and do this. This week's news headlines. Starting today, Walt Disney World, Dateline Walt Disney World, Beauty and the Beast show, has removed all socially distant changes.
Yay!
How about that? So the dancers are able to dance normally. They're going to be able to hold hands. Beauty and the Beast. Isn't it just weird, like, thinking that Belle and Beast can't, like, even hold hands?
The whole thing.
That makes the whole, spoiler alert, that makes the whole death scene really awkward. Doesn't it?
Yes. Well, I get back in the beginning stages of all of this, but this far out, I don't know. I don't know why so many social distancing things were going on. Because, you know, it's not like the majority of people are actually social distancing anymore.
Yeah. Well, and you know they're not doing that at Walt Disney World. Another thing that's back are the Tumble Monkeys at the Festival of the Lion King, and the reimagined Finding Nemo show has got some changes coming. Yay. As well. So things are kind of slowly getting back to some semblance of normalcy, which is always a delight.
I like the Tumble Monkeys.
I do too. I mean, we're looking forward to seeing that show. I hope that our kids will be able to behave themselves throughout this show. I think when they see it, they're going to be like, oh, this is amazing. And they'll be just stunned. And it's going to be so crazy and loud anyway. So hopefully they'll be cool with it. So anyway, that'll be very cool. Anyway, another thing that is cool would be Marvel. I want to do this live. Are you ready for this?
No, I'm not.
You're not? Okay.
Okay.
So
go do it.
So here's the deal. When you call a Marvel superhero with this phone number, this is what you're going to get. And so we're going to do this live and you get to see our reaction to this. But like we said, San Diego Comic-Con last week had all kinds of reveals also about She-Hulk and the new trailer that's coming to Disney Plus. So what we're going to do is call 1-877-She-Hulk. So let's do this live and see what happens. Okay, you ready?
No, but okay.
We're doing this live, y'all. Okay. So here we go.
Hi, you've reached the Superhuman Law Division at GLKNH.
Okay, this time recorded as She-Hulk.
What?
Yep. Wait, yep.
You know they can't see me, right?
Okay, whatever.
Your call is very important to us. Our associates are unavailable to take your call at this time. So please stay on the line to hear about our services here at GLKNH. Have you been fined for thousands of dollars worth of damage to the city you were trying to protect? Did you accidentally create a sentient robot who got the feels and tried to destroy the world? Maybe you're an Asgardian god who leaves a giant burning imprint on private property every time you arrive on Earth.
I know who she's talking about.
We've got your back. Our associates at the Superhuman Law Division of GLKNH will fight for your rights. To fight for everyone else's rights, because that's what superheroing is all about.
Wait, what?
But don't take my word for it. Here's some testimonials from our satisfied clients. And then this is where we include the clients.
Yeah, like with their photo next time.
Once again, phone line. They can't see us.
Wow. Did you hear Bruce Banner in the background?
Very interesting.
You've reached the Superhuman Law Division.
I think this is the same thing.
Okay, this time recorded as She-Hulk.
What? Okay, so yeah, we're hanging up. Sorry, Bruce. We're hanging up on you. It's pretty nice. That's cool, isn't it?
Very interesting.
So my company does the same thing. If you call a certain number that's on some of our social media for Kramer Guitars, you'll hear like different ads pop up. And we did this thing for Gene Simmons too with Gibson and Kiss. So if you call a certain hotline that's on the advertisements that we have, like you'll hear Gene Simmons promote his bass. But it's all comedy.
It'd be nice if they did a whole bunch of different things like this when you would call the Disney travel line instead of hearing the same thing every 10 minutes for 3 hours.
Can you imagine though, some people calling you up to book a trip would probably go, wait a minute. I tried calling Kristen to book a trip, or I tried calling Disney, and all I heard was this thing about She-Hulk.
Instead of having like the music.
Oh, okay.
That is really in terrible audio quality now.
It's the worst audio quality ever.
And you really only want to hear It's a Small World so many times.
You know what? If our listeners want to hear my voice on someone to do the company voicemail, just call Gibson After Hours. And then you'll hear, I do the voicemail for our company. So go figure. Anyway, a little Easter egg for you, not just for She-Hulk Attorney at Law, which will be streaming August 17th on Disney Plus, but you can also hear me do the voicemail for my company as well. How about that? Okay. That's a little something for you. Try it this week and let me know what you think. All right. During normal business hours, make sure you get voicemail. Otherwise, you know, someone else will just say, you know, you want to talk to Al John? What's up? I'll put you through. Don't really do that. How about this?
Yeah, you don't have enough time to, as it is when you're at
it'll
work.
It'll go to my voicemail. And thank you for calling. Thank you so much. we used to have voicemail at this show, but no one called it. So go figure. You can still do that, though, actually. You can actually leave us a message using Anchor FM. If you look at the show notes for everywhere we post this podcast, there's actually a line that people can actually drop us voicemails. No one's ever done that yet. So I encourage you to do so. Okay. All right. a very sad passing this week. Marvel writer Ron Zimmerman passed away. He is a great writer, wrote a lot for Spider-Man, Captain Marvel, The Punisher. He wrote many, many comics, and he passed away at the age of 64 from cancer this week. Ew. He also worked as a film and TV producer as well. So rest in peace. One of the biggest celebrities in Disney to pass away, though, this week was actually earlier today, or yesterday, rather. It was Pat Carroll, the voice of Ursula. She passed away at the age of 95. Wow. And she is an Emmy Award winner, a Grammy Award winner. She passed away from pneumonia at her home in Cape Cod on the 30th. And, she, of course, she's known for her big role in The Little Mermaid as Ursula the Sea Witch. And it's probably one of the most iconic Disney villains of all time. I mean, when you look at the pantheon of Disney villains, Ursula has got to be right up there, probably in the Mount Rushmore, in my opinion, of Disney villains. Don't you think? Memorable Disney villains?
Yeah. It's her voice, though.
Yeah.
You know, you always have to wonder, because she has that kind of, like, rough voice, if she was a smoker.
Well, maybe.
I mean, at 95, chances are pretty good, because,
you know,
back in the day,
yeah,
people, I mean, it was recommended for health reasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before they knew all this stuff.
So in the Disney Renaissance era of Disney villains, okay, so you had Ursula, Scar, Jafar,
Gaston.
I mean, who would you rate as the Disney Renaissance villain at the top of that list? Who is it?
Probably Ursula.
Ursula? Really? You don't think Scar is more villainous than Ursula? I mean.
Oh, well, okay. Well, yeah. If we're talking about the. I was thinking like more memorable.
Oh, memorable? I think there's an argument to be said that she is the most memorable because her songs are amazing. Like, Poor Unfortunate Souls is probably one of the ones that comes up all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And Jafar, like, he's evil. Right? Scar is evil, but Gaston has memorable songs, but probably not as evil as Ursula, attitude-wise, and as memorable as hers, out of the four. So, you could say. That's a good one. I like that.
No, but Gaston and her both are, their characters suffer for being envious of something somebody else has.
It's one of the deadly sins. Get you in trouble all the time. Anyway,
just ask whichever character got killed off in the movie 7.
There you go. That's right. One of our favorite movies. Lindsay says, first villain I saw in the movies in Ariel when I was little. Yes. Yes. I remember when The Little Mermaid came out. I was an aspiring artist at the time. I was also a guitar player, but I also did a lot of Disney art and I would draw Ursula all the time. Because everybody was obsessed with The Little Mermaid back in, 89 when that came out?
89 is when it right? came out.
So I was drawing so much Little Mermaid stuff and selling it, making a few bucks. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I did. I was an entrepreneur.
She lived a long time.
She did. She did. And she was one of a kind. So rest in peace, Pat. Right now, let us get into this. It is our top 10.
It's the Disney List. Top 10.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I wish I had that guy's voice. That'd be scary, wouldn't it? You roll over bed and be like, 1, 10, 9. You know, it's ominous.
Kind of like Vincent Price.
Vincent Price. Well, he had an amazing voice. Orson Welles had an amazing voice. But we digress. That's what we do here on the show. The top 10 differences between Magic Kingdom and Disneyland. Both parks we love attending. We were annual pass holders for both. And this is not a list of which park is better. Right, Kristen?
No, it is just about the differences.
We love both parks. We do. And your first Disney park was what?
Walt Disney World.
Okay. Disneyland for me. So it's not that we choose one over the other. We're just giving differences. No particular order, by the way. No particular order. But why don't you tell everybody what is number one first, or our number 10, if you want to count down in reverse.
Well, Disneyland is Walt's park. Walt walked in it.
Yes. He built it. He was the supervisor, of course. He was the man in charge. Open to the public for the first time in July of 1955. And they still have a bunch of really cool stuff there from opening day that we're going to get into, which is great. And there are, once again, things that are very unique to Disneyland. So one would say that the Magic Kingdom is a little bit of a clone, but there are those differences. But Walt walked the streets. He put his hand on the stuff. He had
an apartment there.
He had an apartment there. He lived there. So I think there's a certain amount of love Disney fans have for Disneyland. And if you haven't been, it's almost like a pilgrimage to a lot of people. I know it was like that for us to go visit there. So many fond memories of Disneyland growing up, and I've only been there once in my childhood, and then to Walt Disney World when I was a teenager, when I was in marching band. We talked about this story before on the podcast. But what do you think about Disneyland being Walt's park being one of the big differences? It's got a different vibe. We'll talk about that too.
Yeah, because, many of those cast members are now gone. But, you know, you had people that... The cast members who worked there, many of them have been trained by people who worked directly with Disney.
Right.
And so you have a different, I think you have a different mindset when you're working in Disneyland because it was Walt's park versus Walt Disney World that Walt never was able to step foot in because he passed away 5 years before it was complete. Mm-hmm. So I think that can be felt in the park.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay. Just making sure we're back on the stream. Looks like we're back. Great. Now, how about the size? The size of the park is different. And it's amazing when you look at the numbers of the size. You can feel it when you walk in, Kristen, right? The size of Disneyland versus Magic Kingdom?
Yes.
So Disneyland is 85 acres. Feels much smaller, in my opinion, but it's 85 acres. Magic Kingdom is 107 acres. That's a big difference between the two parks for sure. And you can definitely tell in...
Things are closer together in Disneyland.
Yes.
The attractions, there's not wasted space. They use every single centimeter of space that they can use in order to fit everything in there the way they do.
They know how to pack it in.
It's like the perfectly packed trunk of your car, you know, versus Walt Disney World, where it's more of when somebody puts stuff in and, you know, they could have made room for more things in there, but they didn't want to unpack and, you know, use the space to the best of their ability.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way I can explain
it. Do you think Magic Kingdom utilizes its space properly?
I think they could have done a better job.
I think they could have done a better job with a lot of things, but it's still a marvel to behold, both Disneyland and Magic Kingdom. I think the size, I think the quaintness of, is quaint even a fair word to say? I mean, it's smaller, it's more charming. Some say quaint. But you can definitely feel that it is the prototype for what Magic Kingdom would become. And I think if they had the excess space, that they may have done things a little differently or knew that, knowing, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, you know, what would you do with 85 acres? How would you do it differently? How would you arrange things differently? That's the thing. When you're locked into those kind of things, it's really difficult to kind of move around. You know, with that spoken wheel kind of setup that they have at both parks. You're kind of locked into a certain place.
I have to say, for as close and as packed as everything is in Disneyland, one of my favorite parts is when you walk through New Orleans Square, because everything is narrow and all the shops are like literally right next to each other, and mm-hmm. everything just, it works really well. It flows much better than you would expect it to, considering mm-hmm. its lack of space.
Yes, but it is small. You can definitely feel it if you've been to both parks, and it's a little bit, it takes some people, I guess they get taken back a little bit as, especially if you're used to Magic Kingdom, how small Disneyland really is.
Yeah.
So, and in my case, I was just shocked at how big Magic Kingdom was. A bunch of these things are a little shocking to me when I went there for the first time. How about the number of attractions? This is the third on our list. You know, Disneyland, believe it or not, in such a small area, actually has more attractions than Magic Kingdom. And at the time we're doing this, Disneyland's got 53. And Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom, Disneyland is 50. Oh, Disneyland is 53, and all of Walt Disney World has 46.
Yes, there's more attractions at Disney.
That is wild.
I knew that.
That is wild. But
that's what I said, they did a better job of the use of space.
So there are some attractions that are not at Magic Kingdom, that are at Disneyland. Okay, what are some of your favorites?
I like the Indiana Jones attraction.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye. Yeah, Indiana Jones is wonderful over at Disneyland. Let's see, what else?
You know what else I like?
Yeah.
Now, this is at both parks. I think they have a better teacup.
At Disneyland.
At Disneyland.
Yes.
But in Disneyland, they also have an attraction. And a second Alice in Wonderland attraction that's right next to the teacups.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, there's a bunch of those things that are different, right? And I think that those are attractions that you can find at Disneyland. And of course, the Matterhorn is another one you find at Disneyland that you don't find in the Magic Kingdom, which I was kind of shocked. You know, when I went there, I think I remember sharing on this podcast a while ago that when I went to Magic Kingdom, I said, great, where's the Matterhorn? Did I say that to you?
Yeah.
On our honeymoon, I was like, where's the Matterhorn? You know, no Matterhorn here, Al John, no Matterhorn. Disappointment. But not disappointing to ride the Yeti at Expedition Everest in a different park.
I'm not a big fan of the Matterhorn.
It is rough. It's super rough.
I'd like it if I didn't get off of it feeling like whiplashed.
Yeah, I told myself that I'm not going to ride it, and then forced myself to ride it, and then I instantly regret it. But
it bangs
at least
me
I
around too much because I'll get bruises on my arms from it, like throwing me back and forth. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I don't like that. I don't want something. I don't want a coaster to hurt me. If it hurts, then I'm not having any fun.
Right.
I think last time we went on, I said, that's it. I'm never doing this again.
So the next point that we were going to make on this list of top 10 differences between Magic Kingdom and Disneyland is the same rides are actually different. And as we said, some are unique to the same park. So we talked about the differences in the Haunted Mansions. The Haunted Mansions are very different. You've got the exterior of the Haunted Mansion in New Orleans Square, which definitely fits the theming of New Orleans Square, which I love. That old style, you know, New Orleans plantation home, if you will,
yes.
kind of look.
Yeah.
And then you have the more, I don't know, it's kind of like a Southern influence. Well, it's not Southern. I mean, it's just a different take on the Haunted Mansion exterior that kind of is in the theme of
it has like the Louisiana antebellum type mansion.
Are you talking about
Disneyland?
Disneyland, yes.
Yeah.
And then you have more of the Frontierland, or not Frontierland, I'm sorry. You have more of the The magic. Come on, help me out here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Talk about the theming of the Haunted Mansion over at Disney.
Oh, Disney World?
Walt Disney World,
it's just like an old house.
Yeah, it's like,
there's nothing. It's like a very old mansion. There's nothing.
It doesn't have a place. It's just different.
It doesn't have a place.
Yes. Okay.
You're not going to go, that looks like it's from Louisiana. It doesn't look like it's from somewhere.
Okay.
It just looks like an old
mansion. It is kind of off into the side.
Yes,
it is. Liberty Square. It's in the middle of Liberty Square and Fantasyland, and it's kind of off to the side. And
it's American.
It's American. it's kind of in its own place. It's kind of strange, but it is different. Not just the exterior, but also the interior, if you haven't been.
I like the interior of this haunted mansion. When you get on the attraction, there's a couple of scenes that you don't see in the other.
When you say this haunted mansion, you mean?
My haunted mansion, which is Disney World.
Disney World, which is Magic Kingdom, yes. Joan says, it's more New York. It's based on a Hudson Valley Homes. Okay, yes.
Okay.
Yes, there you go.
See, I didn't know that because I have not been.
It was on the tip of my tongue, Joan. It was on the tip of my tongue. But yeah, there are those differences between the two. Now, which you said you favor our East Coast version over the West Coast version in terms of Haunted Mansion. And Eva, I know this isn't a what edges out what kind of list, but.
Only because I like the stair scene that it has.
Yes. That's a good scene. It's a little longer, just a skosh longer. How about Pirates of the Caribbean?
Way longer in Disneyland, and definitely
better.
Way better.
I love the scenes of it. You know,
the loading for it is cooler too.
Everything about it is cooler. There's no doubt. I think it's much cooler there in New Orleans Square. Pirates of the Caribbean is amazing. Longer. It's got the double drop. It has the better outside theming. I think it's got the great, parrot that greets you as you come into the attraction. So yeah, I love that. And of course, there's so many more scenes. There are more pirate skeletons and different things at the very beginning. And at the very end, they've got the munitions room where the pirates are all trying to, hit each other with cannonballs at the very end, And it's great. How about Splash Mountain?
Splash Mountain, you actually, instead of sitting side by side, you sit one in front of the other.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's slightly different.
It's more like the seating for Space Mountain in Magic Kingdom.
Well, that is also different in both places, too.
Yes, because they kind of swap. It has the side by side. They have the better seating.
Yeah. Splash Mountain at Walt Disney World, I think, is a little bit better. If we were to talk that route.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big Thunder Mountain.
Jeffrey Epstein said that.
That's right. I agree with Jeffrey, the Disney geek, the original Disney geek. I agree with him. And you rode the ride with him, so he probably gave you a little bit of extra stuff.
They squished him and I and one other person in together. I was like, I don't think these are made for three people. They're made for two.
Especially Jeffrey and his friend. They're super tall too.
At least
they're small enough. That's great. Joan says she likes Pirates of the Caribbean in California better than Walt Disney World. Hey, you speak of the truth, but there's a lot, and Space Mountain is different. I love the Space Mountain at Disneyland, and for the simple reason of the ride vehicles are more comfortable for me, and the soundtrack. Ride vehicles are much more like Rock and Roller Coaster. So I love the sound. It just is wonderful.
Big Thunder Mountain is also different.
And I love it at Disneyland.
Yes, because they did a better job with the explosion scene.
Yeah, they put some of the same special effects going up the mountain as they did in Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So some of those effects are very similar, but they really put it to good use at Big Thunder Mountain over at Disneyland. So, yeah. And another difference is that Disneyland has the overlays that we don't at Walt Disney World. And when I mean overlay, I'm talking about
the holidays.
The holidays. So Space Mountain, since we just got talking about that, sometimes we'll do the Halloween overlay, or they'll do like this. Was it the, I forgot, was the haunted, I forgot what the haunted Space Mountain was again. And they'll also do the Nightmare Before Christmas at Haunted Mansion.
Yes. And then they do the holiday overlay at It's a Small World.
Yes. It's a Small World is also different on both coasts.
Yes.
Which is also different.
I have seen the holiday overlay on It's a Small World. That's the only attraction that I've been on where they've still had that going on.
Yes. So we talked about that It's a Small World. Hey, you know another attraction that they have at Disneyland that we don't have in Walt Disney World is the storybook.
Yes.
Yeah, so
the storybook canals.
Yep, storybook canal, which is very charming.
Well, they also have the Snow White Scary Adventures that is no longer at Magic Kingdom, as well as Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. No longer at Magic Kingdom.
And they also have the Submarine Voyage with Nemo and Friends.
Yes.
That they just refurbished and looked amazing. It looks so good. Love that. Absolutely love it. And, of course, Star Tours. Star Tours is at Disneyland versus Star Tours at Walt Disney World being at
Hollywood
Studios.
Everything that Star
Wars Galaxy's Edge is at Disneyland.
Yeah, because they don't have Hollywood Studios. They have California Adventure, and they put everything Star Wars in Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Got rid of the like petting zoo area and the delicious barbecue.
Yes. Oh yes. Let's see here. Magic Kingdom still has classics. People Mover, we have. Hey, there you go. And the Country Bear Jamboree, Carousel of Progress. So those are other things that the East Coast has that the other side doesn't have. So there's a lot of these kind of weird, you know, kind of things. They're the same but different. Here's something that you can talk about too at number five. And this is controversial to a lot of people.
Okay.
The food is different at Disneyland versus Magic Kingdom. Discuss. You want to talk about the snacks?
Well, I'm going to say, first
service?
Of all, with snacks, churros are in abundance. And popcorn is, like, everywhere. Mm-hmm. Those are two things, like, you can't get... churros are not a popular item at Magic Kingdom like they are in Disneyland. I mean, it's
a
like,
shame.
It's like churro world out there.
it is like churro world.
They have so many different kinds of churros.
Welcome to churro world.
I love it. I'll also say that Rancho del Zocalo.
Uh-huh. I knew it.
Is, if you're going to ask me, my favorite place to have quick service, and we're talking Magic Kingdom and Disneyland, hands down, Disneyland's Rancho del Zocalo has the best Mexican food of quick service anywhere. Their carne asada is amazing. And I am so picky about my steak and my burgers being cooked a certain way.
Oh, yeah.
That nailed I was it. Very hesitant to try the carne asada. But it was highly recommended to me from Taylor, who is Bubba, my co-host, his wife. And I got it, and I was like, oh, my gosh. The
it's
meat
so
was
good.
So tender yeah. and had a lot of flavor. It's, I would say, and a lot of people think, prefer Magic Kingdom to Disneyland. But I find that there's more variety of cuisines from when it comes to quick service.
Yeah.
At Disneyland versus Magic Kingdom.
And let's not forget, and by the way, you're 100% right. Zocalo's the best. But one thing that we do have, well, one thing that they do have at Disneyland, and I say they because our home park is, of course, Walt Disney World at Magic Kingdom. They have the Monte Cristo at New Orleans Square. And I love the Monte Cristo sandwich. So you can't get that anywhere else, really, except Disneyland.
I believe you can get it over at Port Orleans.
Oh, you can get it at Port Orleans now. Well, in the park.
In the park.
So that is one of our things. Now, to Walt
Disney. They also have Carnation Cafe.
Yes, which... Carnation Cafe, which is so good. So we do have something different at Magic Kingdom that doesn't exist, and that would be Be Our Guest.
Yes, they don't have Be Our Guest.
They don't have Be Our Guest. So it's just one of those things. But when it comes to the snacks, I think, you know, we have to give props to Disneyland. Disneyland definitely has great snacks. Be Our Guest is definitely a tip of the hat, once again, to Magic Kingdom. But if you are one of the lucky few that happen to be a member of Club 33, congratulations.
That's pretty amazing.
That's pretty amazing. We were very, very lucky because we could not, there was no way we were going to be Club 33 members unless we hit the lottery, which would be amazing, right, gang? Everyone's going to Disney World or Disneyland, I guess. But that's one of the things that we were very, very grateful to our friends who got us into Club 33 to experience, because that was another one of Walt's rooms, you know, so very cool indeed. So
that's when you make friends with somebody, like when you have that kind of money and you can't get in there because the list is so long, you just find somebody who's on the list and you make friends with them and go, I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you X amount of money.
Yes.
To help cover your cost. But you have to always be able to put me on the list if I want to go.
100%. That'd be amazing. Right. Okay. And this is a quick one. Kristen, take us to this number six.
Well, the castles are different.
Mm-hmm. Does it drive you nuts when people say, hey, we're at Disneyland and look at the castle and, you know, vice versa. It's like, look at Sleeping Beauty's castle. And it's not Sleeping Beauty's castle.
It's, no, technically it's King Ludwig's, his castle, since it was inspired by Neuschwanstein Castle over in Germany.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bavaria.
Yes.
Very nice.
It's an awesome castle too. They had flushing toilets, and back in the time that they had flushing toilets, we didn't have toilets here.
Okay, so you're going in deep down in that history well here. But Disneyland is where you can find Sleeping Beauty's castle, measuring, get this, 77 feet tall. Only 77 feet? And then you go to Cinderella's castle, located at Magic Kingdom. It is 189 feet tall. So you can explore the interior parts of both. They're quite different, of course.
Even though knowing that they were using Neuschwanstein as like the model for Sleeping Beauty's castle, I think the fact that it's pink doesn't make me think of that castle, whereas the Cinderella castle makes me think more of that, even though it's not.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I think they kind of take parts of both. It's inspired.
Well, supposedly what happened was somebody had flipped the castle around because they were playing around with it, and Walt walked in and it was facing the wrong way. And he was like, oh, I like that. So technically the back of Sleeping Beauty Castle is the front of Neuschwanstein.
Right. Yes. So in this next number seven, this next part, the lands are different. The lands are different. Did you know that? Yes. Little different. So we talked a little bit about Liberty Square versus New Orleans Square, and you know, each one has a Fantasyland, Frontierland, Adventureland, Tomorrowland, but, and of course the Main Street USA. But in Disneyland, you're going to have New Orleans Square,
mm-hmm.
Haunted Mansion's there, Pirates are there. It's great, right?
You also have Critter Country in Disneyland.
Yes, Critter Country.
Mm-hmm. And you have Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Kind of weird, but there it is. Right?
See, I feel like Liberty Square is very much just, I guess it's more New England Americana look.
Well, I wonder why.
Versus, you know, of course, New Orleans Square is New Orleans, Louisiana.
I had to mute the mic there. Still under the weather. And of course, because Florida and Orlando is very close to New Orleans, they thought that maybe you shouldn't do that and decided to do something for the more colonial America look. So Haunted Mansion is still there, but it's, of course, been different. Pirates isn't there, although it's found in Adventureland. Hall of Presidents is there. It's very small, but it's, you know, it's definitely bigger in terms of the length and the different things you'll find there.
Yeah.
Including Country Bear Jamboree.
I wish they had done New Orleans Square, because I do like the New Orleans Square.
I do like New Orleans Square, too.
Besides, New Orleans food is just good. I could go for some Copeland's right now. Some red beans and rice.
You are going off. You are going off into all these all of these tangents here. Hey, you alluded to this as well. So there are lands that you'll only find in one park. So you talked about Critter Country, the back corner of Disneyland that has Splash Mountain, Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, New Orleans Square. Of course, we talked about Galaxy's Edge exists at the edge of the California park, right?
Yep.
And Toontown getting refurbished. So that's something that you'll only find there.
Completely redone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No more Toontown.
No. Well, yeah, it's going to be different. And then you have Magic Kingdom, where we don't have a Critter Country. We don't have a Galaxy's Edge, right?
Right.
So it's just different. We do have Storybook Circus, which I was going to say. And the new Fantasyland has got a little bit different than their Fantasyland, a little bit different.
Yeah, it's like Fantasyland and New Fantasyland and Storybook Circus.
It's different. It's different. How about Frontierland? It's different as well. We talked a little bit about that. But Frontierland, you've got Big Thunder Mountain, which is very similar to Magic Kingdom's. But Disneyland, it just, once again, as we say, it's been plussed. It feels great, looks great. Magic Kingdom, Frontierland, feels more Critter Country-esque, some would say.
Okay.
Right? Where you find Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
You've got Country Bear Jamboree. So those are the kind of critters you're going to find out there, you know, which is nice. I mean, I don't know. Do you like one over the other?
No.
No.
I don't really have a preference.
Kind of the same to you. Now, we also talked the last bit about the Matterhorn bobsleds. It was the first roller coaster built at Disneyland, and it's one of the mountains that call to you, one of the great Disney mountains. It's been through a lot of renovations, but it is unique to Disneyland. But we don't have that at Magic Kingdom. You know, we just have another ride that's very similar in Expedition Everest. And if I had to put those two together, that would be a whole other show. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, those are some of the key differences. Some attractions are there, some are not. Some attractions are the same, but are slightly different. And then the food and the theming is different in both places. You know, once again, this is not a show about which one's better than the other.
The thing is I don't feel one is really better than the other because, and we've been there many times and hear people comparing the two. And I feel like maybe because I did not go in the mindset of comparing them and just going in thinking this is Walt's original park.
Yeah.
That I don't really compare the two. And there's some things that I feel like I would say overall, really the one attraction that stands out with the biggest difference and me saying, yes, I really prefer this one over the other, is Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. The other ones, they're like neck and neck. They're different, and there may be this that I like in the one attraction, but in the other place, there's something that the other one doesn't have that I like in that one, too.
I'm just going to put this out there. Carousel of Progress. I love Carousel of Progress.
I know. They want their Carousel of Progress back. You can't have it back.
Make your own.
Just like we took their TTA.
Well.
They don't have any more.
They destroyed their own TTA. Rocket ride. Now, whatever. They destroyed their own. they destroyed their own. But anyway, hey, what do you think? What are some differences we missed? I'm sure we missed a few in this discussion, but we wanted to keep it nice and neat and happy for this nice top 10. We kind of group things together in a kind of weird way, a little hodgepodge, if you will. But I hope you enjoyed it, because I know I did. And so that said, I think we're going to go on this midnight run. Feels like it. We're going to go watch Stranger Things. What do you think?
I'm ready. Let's go.
You ready? Okay. Thank you so much for joining us for yet another edition of the Disney List. Thank you to our friends, the Replay Heroes, for providing us our music for this episode. We love you, Replay Heroes, because you're so juicefully 80s. Speaking of Stranger Things, you're so 80s, and I love it. Don't forget to send us the emails, because, you know, we love reading them, and we love seeing comments on our show page on Facebook. So please do it, will you? All right, thedisneylist@gmail.com. You can also find me, Al John Go, on Instagram. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Skull Rock Podcast, with myself and former creative director of special projects for Disney. He has so many different hats. Award-winning author, filmmaker, animator, Dave Bosser. And we have all kinds of guests coming up on the show. You won't want to miss it. We're talking to some Imagineers this month. You're going to love it. Kristen, where can people find you?
You can find me at diningatdisney.com. Of course, Dining at Disney on all of your favorite social media platforms that are out there. I have no idea what we're going to be talking about this week. Every week we do news or a foodie guide, something like that, for one episode. And then the other episode is a best of or a ranking having to do with food. So last time, let's see, what did we rank? We did the sandwiches. We ranked pavilions at Epcot based on their food.
Yes.
So if you're gluten-free, that's definitely a good one to listen to.
It's always good if you're gluten-free, because Kat always injects a gluten-free life.
But just like with the sandwiches, her knowing what sandwiches to eat if you're gluten-free.
I love that.
So, yes.
Also, once again, remind everybody where they can save a lot of money on their next Disney trip.
At themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
Thank you so much to our friends over there, WDW Park Hoppers, Disney Parks Podcast, Monorail Tales. We need to get on there. Steve and Sheila have been asking us to get on the show with them at some point. Also, Source Radio at srsounds.com, our broadcast partner. And guys, thank you so much for joining us on this live show. We stream live every week on Facebook as well, so be sure to like us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and we're also on Twitter. So thank you so much. Anything else? That's it?
No, I think that's everything.
All right. Well, my name's Al John.
And I'm Kristen. And we'll see you real soon.
The information and opinions expressed in this podcast are for entertainment and informational purposes. All other trademarks mentioned are the property of their respective owners.
Skull Rock Podcast, talking all things Disney, with your hosts, Al John Go and Dave Bossert.
Do you just love to learn more about the magic that embodies animated films, theme park attractions, and more? The all-encompassing universe created and produced by the genius of Walt Disney has spanned nearly 100 years and counting.
From his earliest film endeavors with the Laugh-O-Gram cartoons and the Alice comedies, to the creation of Mickey Mouse, to the first animated feature film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and then dreaming up Disneyland, Walt Disney continuously raised the creative bar, and today his company has carried on that tradition as a global entertainment juggernaut. I'm Dave Bossert, artist, filmmaker, and author.
And I'm Al John Go, musician, podcaster, and radio guy. Every week, Dave and I will explore the entertainment galaxy that is Disney with insightful conversation, stories, and special guests talking all things Disney.
Listen to never-before-heard stories and behind-the-scenes moments from some of your favorite Disney films, theme park attractions, performances, books, music, and so much more from knowledgeable, insightful, and thought-provoking hosts and guests. Hear the latest news about Disney past, present, and future.
Skull Rock Podcast is your go-to source for the magic we all love. Skull Rock Podcast. Visit skullrockpodcast.com.
I'm Kristen Hetzel, co-host of Dining at Disney Podcast. Every week, I chat about dining at Disneyland and Walt Disney World Resort and Disney Cruise Line with my fellow foodie, Bubba. We also feature restaurants and food reviews, information to help you plan your dining, Disney food news, recipes, and a monthly panel discussion. Visit diningatdisney.com and subscribe to Dining at Disney Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcast platform. Dining at Disney Podcast, the happiest plate on earth.